Namaste, Sri Guru Bhyo Namaha, reverence to the great gurus, rishis, and seers. The subject of our talk is Soma, what it is, and any botanical or plant somas. Soma is a Vedic term and deity, one of the main deities of the Rig Veda, the oldest Vedic text. It is the subject of the entire ninth book or mandala of the 10 books of the Rig Veda, which contains over 100 mantric hymns or suktas. Soma is said to be the essence of the Vedas. It is called the king or the guru, the guide of the Vedas. Soma has often been identified or attempted to be identified with some sort of botanical plant, mind-altering plant, even intoxicant. However, if we study the Vedic hymns closely, there are three levels in which the term soma is used, and we will go over these three levels, with the botanical aspect being the third. First, soma is part of a cosmic symbolism along with Agni. The entire universe is said to be Agni and Soma, Agni Somatmakam Jagat. And this symbolism occurs relative to many different deities. Agni and Soma are fire and water. They are the sun and the moon. They are the harsh and the soft, sometimes the masculine and the feminine, sometimes the mountain and the valley, like the yin and yang of the Vedic thought. And they are woven together. There's an Agni within Soma and a Soma within Agni. Soma is often identified with the ocean, both the cosmic ocean of space, even the ocean of the atmosphere, as well as the earthly ocean. It's identified with a stream, a river, a flow, a nadi, or a channel. Just as Agni is fire, the sun, Soma is water and the moon, and the two forces have their different forms of interaction. Agni is the seer, Soma is the seen. Agni is the knower, Soma is the known. Agni is the light of the universe, Soma is the substance of the universe, and on and on. I don't wish to go into all those details here. It's going to take quite a long time. So it's a part of the cosmic symbolism, Agni and Soma. Soma means to swell, to expand. It implies food, nourishment. In the Greek thought, the somatic refers to the body, but in the Vedic thought, soma also refers to the mind. But soma is the receptive activity, often associated like with a lake. Agni is the perceptive and motivating activity. So these two must be understood at many levels, and we cannot reduce soma to a single plant, much less to any type of general view of life or nature or anything else that takes us to kind of a one-dimensional approach. Soma has a multi-dimensional meaning. And as the rishis were great poets and yogis, the second form of soma is the yogic form. And at this level, soma refers to inspiration, intoxication, ecstasy, or bliss. Soma is called rasa, which also means a juice, but it also means an art or an essence. So soma is connected to poetry, to meters, to the yogic state of samadhi or higher consciousness. It is associated with ananda or bliss as a cosmic principle. And here also, Agni and Soma form a duality, most notably in yoga. Agni is the Kundalini Shakti, at the base of the spine, the Muladhara or the earth chakra. And Soma is the nectar, the amrit, the nectar of immortality at the crown chakra, the thousand-petaled lotus of the head. And here too we see that the plant or the tree often represents the subtle body, the nervous system, the energy, subtle energy body behind the nervous system. And even in later tantric yoga, Agni is related to Kundalini, and Soma is related to the lotus of the head, and the crown chakra is also called the moon, just as the root chakra is connected to fire. So the Vedic rishis are, with Soma, bringing in all aspects of inner intoxication and ecstasy, not simply outer forms. And as such, ultimately, Soma is the realization, the self-realization, the deepest samadhi of unitary consciousness, the ananda that pervades the entire universe. But more specifically here, we want to look into the Soma as a plant. But here too, the symbolism crosses over. So we have a cosmic form, a yogic form, and a plant form, and we can't totally separate them because there's also a yogic plant, and there's also a cosmic plant, cosmic tree, all these different things. And when we look into the botanical Soma, we go back to Vedas, but also Ayurveda. Ayurveda identifies 24 different types of Soma plants, named according to the Vedic meters, and said to grow in mountain lakes in the Himalayas, particularly the Manasa Lake of Kashmir, and also the Manasa Lake, Manasarovar, by Mount Kailas and Tibet. So they're named after Vedic meters, connecting them to poetry and mantra and ecstasy that way, yoga. Also, Ayurveda talks about 18 types of Soma plants growing in the high mountains, the Himalayas, and that Somas can be found in the higher elevations of all the mountains of India. And actually, Somas grow wherever there are healing plants. So in a certain sense, Soma refers to the healing juice, the rasa of all the plants, but particularly to the healing juice of plants that grow in the high mountains, which are said to have special rejuvenative or rasayana properties, as well as potentially mind-altering properties. At the same time, this is symbolic, because again, the lake of the mind is meditation. Mountain relates to meditation, sadhana, retreat, the abode of the rishis. But it is true that mind-altering plants like cannabis are mentioned as types of soma. And somas are also connected to rejuvenative plants for the mind. And they are said to have an invigorating effect upon the nervous system. So there must have been a Vedic use of sacred plants, something like we have seen in the Native American traditions, but also something that we have also found in Asia and with shamans. At the same time, it's very difficult to associate a soma with just one plant, or even necessarily with a mind-altering or consciousness-altering kind of drug. They can also be seen as herbs that improve awareness and herbs that stimulate higher healing properties. So that being said, let's look at some of the potential botanical connections of Soma that we see in the Vedas. One, we've already kind of almost touched upon, lotuses or lilies growing on a lake. Of course, symbolically, the lake of the mind, but also Himalayan lakes. And there are certain lotuses that have had certain mind-altering properties, and lotuses and lilies having rejuvenating and tonic properties can be placed in here. Then we also have somas as connected to reed grasses. And here even sugarcane, but there are other reed grasses that have been found to have mind-altering properties. I won't go into the details here, but certainly reed grasses are mentioned in pressing the juice out of the plant, the juice and coming out of a plant that is fibrous in nature, a plant also having a milky juice. So this doesn't necessarily go against the symbolism of the opening lotus, but it also does include other types of plants. Then soma is often called a vine, lata. And in this regard, there are many types of orchids and lily plants. You know, some lilies also form vines that do have healing and mind-altering properties, and which we do find in the Himalayas. So these type of orchids and liliaceous plants must also be considered. Yet again, going back to the idea that soma is the healing essence of the plant, soma is often identified with the ashwata tree, the ficus, you know, the tropical fig trees that do have a milky juice and healing properties and are like the king or the queen of the plants. So even trees cannot be left out. Then we have some more specific soma connections. There are certain Himalayan plants. For example, soma is said to grow with kushta, which is a Soseria type plant. And we also have related plants in the Himalayas, like the Brahmakamal or the Hemkamal, which are also in the Soseria type family. Brahmakamal resembling a lotus and growing at very high elevations. And of course, in shamanistic traditions, there was the use of the mushrooms. Some have identified soma with the Amanita muscari mushroom. We would not agree. I mean, I wouldn't say it's not something that could not have been used as a type of soma, but it doesn't agree with the basic symbolism of soma as having a milky juice and often as being a vine, as even having multiple branches or even connected to flowers. And the general fact that the shamans in the Himalayas have not used these mushrooms so much. So I would say that the Amanita is at most a secondary form of soma, not to rule it out altogether, but not to make it into the soma plant. Another plant is the ephedra plant, related, of course, to the mahuang of Chinese medicine. It's an herbal stimulant and clarifying agent, and it was also used as a soma-type plant by the Iranians. It grows in drier regions. It also does grow in some drier areas around the Himalayas. But it doesn't have any milky juice. It can be kind of fibrous. So again, we would say it is more of one of the soma plants or a secondary soma plant. There's also soma lata plant that we still find used in South India, Sarcostema, that also has some mind-stimulating properties. Again, one of the possible soma plants. So essentially, we have to say that there is no one soma plant. However, we should note that the somas are said to grow in all the lands of all the five Vedic peoples. They're connected to rivers and lakes, and even with the Saraswati river that dried up. And after the drying up of the Saraswati, we also find less references to soma. So there may have been one primary plant used as the soma. Again, we can't identify that specifically, but it's more likely there were many soma-type plants, and soma just referring to that specific use of sacred plants rather than one plant only. So among botanical somas, there were probably some intoxicating agents, There were also some tonic, rejuvenative herbs for the mind. And even today, some of the Ayurvedic rasayanas for the mind, Brahmi, Manduka Parni, Shankapushpi, Ashwagandha, these were probably part of these soma plants. We also have some of these lilies and orchids still used in Ayurveda. So they were also part of that. And a change of language also occurred in the sense that from the just the idea of the soma plant in India, there was a movement then towards flower offerings and other types of plant offerings, prasad, sacred food, and all of that. So for those looking for one soma plant, it is not going to be easy. For those looking for one of many possible soma plants, there are definitely some plants in the Himalayas. There's also this idea of the Sanjeevani plant that Hanuman takes back to revive Rama and Lakshman. And there are some plants in the umbelliferous family that have said to have been used for that. So, and it's well known that there are many special plant properties of orchids and lily plants and reed grasses. And these were probably some of the original somas. At the same time, we should remember that the botanical side of soma is its tertiary side, not its primary or even its secondary. Primarily, it is a cosmic symbolism, Agni Soma as the universe of light and fluid, of the power to perceive and the power to reflect, consciousness and Ananda. And then into the yogic form of Soma, which became the most important, awakening these subtle Soma essences within us, which include the thousand-petal lotus of the head, but also special secretions of the tarpa kapha, the form of kapha dosha, the biological water humor, for sustaining organic equilibrium in the brain, positive brain chemistry, internal harmony. So in this modern era of designer drugs, where we're trying to bring harmonious function to the brain and balance properly the brain chemistry, this idea of inner somas produced by mantra, pranayama, meditation, special Ayurvedic oils and herbs, rasayanas, is a very important factor. I have examined these details in my book on soma and on my studies of soma, overall soma in yoga and Ayurveda, which is the power of rejuvenation and immortality. So we need to take a broader view of soma, but there are certainly soma type plants, and there are many different types. Some somas may be more stimulants, some may be narcotics, some may be rejuvenative agents, tonic type herbs. Again, they are the essential energy essence of the herbs. So taking this very broad view, we can reclaim the whole science of soma, whether at a universal level, a yogic level, or a botanical level. And that is a very important factor for the Ayurvedic medicine, for the yoga practice overall, and for understanding the universe as a whole, which is pervaded by the bliss Ananda, or power of ecstasy. So with these words, I will close this talk. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Om Shrim Somaya Namaha. May that immortal soma plant awaken within you, and may we be able to discover the science of soma externally at a botanical level as well. Hari Om Tat Sat.